This week, it's a two-for-one edition of WNCW's Friday Feature Interview of the Week. My name is Paul Foster. Coming up in a few minutes, a report on Western North Carolina's annual green race. But to start with, the feature will spotlight the book For the Love of Chimney Rock. My guest today is former manager and fourth-generation Chimney Rock Park owner Todd Morse about his book called For the Love of Chimney Rock, Four Generations of Morse Family Stewardship. Todd, before we get into some history about Chimney Rock and about this book, give us some background on yourself.
I'd always come here as a child and always enjoyed visiting, but I actually ended up working here as the general manager back in 1986. And originally I'm from St. Louis, grew up there. Ended up being involved with Chimney Rock for about 21 years as part of our family business. Love Western North Carolina and live in Lake Lure now.
Well, what inspired you to write this book?
Well, I'd really say that it was my kids. I realized that I was the fourth and final generation of our family that was involved with Chimney Rock over our 105 years of ownership and stewardship. And I realized that once we sold Chimney Rock in 2007, that unless I was willing to take the time to sit down and really write up all of the history of our family's involvement, that it might not happen. How sad that would be for that all of that wonderful history to be lost. Just felt that it was really an important thing for me to do that for my kids and their kids. Once I got done, I knew that I had a very complete telling of our involvement with Chimney Rock over all those years.
You talked about something that was most rewarding for you in putting this together. Share that with our audience.
I think the greatest gift that I got in writing this book, honestly, was that I got to get to know my great-great-uncle, Dr. Morse, and my great-grandfather, Hiram, better than I ever did during my whole time of running Chimney Rock. They were incredible men who gave so much to the development of Chimney Rock, and they loved the property so much. And it was just wonderful to get to know more about their stories than I ever knew. And I think we've, in a sense, in some ways, lost the art of storytelling as a way to pass forward family history these days. And so one of the things that was so rewarding for me in this was that I was able to learn so much about my ancestors so that I could share that with my kids and future generations, and as well with anybody who's really enjoyed the park over many years.
Tell us about the generation of your family that first took ownership, how this all happened way back then.
My great-great-uncle was Dr. Lucius B. Morse, and he had come to the area after he had contracted tuberculosis back in the late 1800s. And he came here to recover from tuberculosis and ended up setting up a clinic in the area for other tuberculosis sufferers. Initially, he moved to Asheville, and he used to like to ride by horseback down to Chimney Rock and what would become Lake Lure, literally paid the family that owned it, the Freeman family, a quarter, go up by horseback to the base of Chimney Rock, and they had a rough set of stairs at that time that accessed the top of Chimney Rock. And as I've always heard, he immediately fell in love with it and would later get his two brothers, one of whom was my great-grandfather, to become involved a year later.
Now, this book, Todd, is filled with quite a list of historic photos of both your family and the park. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. I guess it's primarily a history book that has photos that help tell the story. And I'm fortunate that I have, over the years, amassed through our family quite a collection of historic photos of Chimney Rock that I think people will really enjoy if they've been to the park over the years, perhaps seeing some photos that they haven't seen before that help tell this story. I put on the back cover, I thought, a way that describes it well, that it is truly part family history, part business case study, and then part personal perspective, that it really has all kinds of things in it. Because I think our relationship with Chimney Rock was so multifaceted. I think on the one hand, we loved the property and cared for the property and realized what a spectacular place it was. But also, it was a family business. And so with family business comes the normal day-in, day-out operational kinds of business things, but also the relationships that our family had amongst ourselves. And then, of course, trying to serve guests that come to the park to enjoy it as well.
Todd, if someone wanted to find out more information about you or the book, or if they wanted to purchase a copy, how could they do so?
It is available on Amazon.com and available at ChimneyRockPark.com.
For the love of Chimney Rock, four generations of Morse family stewardship, we thank you for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
This is WNCW, and in the second part of this week's Friday feature, freelance reporter Lydia Wilson, with a background working for NPR affiliate stations, will share her report on the annual Green Race. How will it play out in a year of a pandemic? Let's hit the water. Here's Lydia.
The Green River meanders through North Carolina mountains in Henderson County until it drops, tumbling over boulders to form some of the toughest expert-level whitewater rapids on the East Coast. John Grace first took the plunge by kayak in 1997.
You're paddling up to horizon lines. It just looks like you're looking at treetops as the river drops off the falls below you. The noise of the whitewater.
It's a tight-knit community that teaches each other how to kayak the Green River Narrows. A group got the idea to show off the skills in a race for bragging rights. 2020 is the 25th anniversary of the Green Race. John Grace is now the coordinator.
Putting on a race like this, you start with safety. That's always our main thing. It's inherently a pretty savage landscape, even to hike in there.
COVID adds a new layer of safety concerns. This year, spectators aren't invited, and there's no international paddlers that have signed up so far. Otherwise, organizers say the show must go on. Boaters already had to be spaced out more than 6 feet apart. And to each big rapid, there are always trained safety teams surrounded by pounds of rescue gear. Jack Henderson leads safety team for one of the rapids of the Green Race.
We cover a variety of hazards between getting a boat stuck or somebody coming out of their boat, which we call a swim, and we're trying to prevent someone from swimming into the next rapid downstream, you know, or getting stuck in the water for extended periods of time.
All this effort to win bragging rights and raise funds for conservation groups that monitor the Green River. Mere mortals can race virtually and contribute to the cause by bidding on a boater. For the racers, there's a payoff for the preparation. Coordinator John Grace.
It's an opportunity to be fully focused on one thing. And for me, that's the greatest feeling. All the noise and all the stuff about politics or drama and things that are going on in your life, all that leaves while you're paddling. So you feel very in the moment. That's hard to do.
Organizers have a new trick up their sleeves for the 25th anniversary of the Green Race. They'll be live streaming from the bottom of the Green River Gorge so spectators can watch the kayakers safely at home. In Henderson County, North Carolina, I'm Lydia Wilson.
Oh, boy!
Friday features are also available on our website as a podcast at WNCW.org. Enjoy your weekend. I'm Paul Foster for WNCW.